Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I have with me the host of all hosts, Tom Rainer, my dad, founder and CEO of Church Answers, and me, Sam Rainer. But we also have a guest today, which we're excited about. We have Adam Weber with us, and so we'll be getting to him here in just a second because Adam's got some really neat things to share with us. But Dad, how are you doing today?
I'm weary. Traveled with your youngest brother to Florida and back in 2 days. And Florida and back, for the perspective of us, is about a 9.5 and 10 hour trip from Nashville.
Well, yeah, and I know how much you love Florida. So and going to Florida is something that you really enjoy. So I'm sorry that you had to travel with Jess, and that's probably the reason that you're weary.
I'll tell you why I'm weary, and I don't want to preclude too much of Adam on this, but if you can just get the context of the drive back, I talked to you 2 or 3 times on the drive back.
I had some ideas I wanted to share.
And then I had Jess in the car handling pastoral ministry, calls coming in, responding to people. And I'm just thinking, you guys, you pastors, first of all, you're my heroes. Second of all, God got me out of that world for a reason. Y'all are much better than I am.
So I should stop calling you for advice?
No. I'm just thinking of all the things that were happening. But we want to get to the interview with Adam. First of all, thank you, Tyndale. You're our sponsor. You're our hero. We love the partnership we have with you. And they have this incredible resource to bridge a racial divide called Friendship Challenge. It's a 6-week program for individuals or groups who want to pursue racial reconciliation. It consists of a book, online videos to help your church heal racial division. For more information, you can go to thefriendshipchallenge.com or you can see it in your show notes. Adam Weber, welcome to Rainer on Leadership.
Oh, I'm so excited to be with the both you, Tom and Sam, and grateful for the work you do. So I'm just thrilled to connect and sit down and connect with you guys.
We are as well. He is the founder and leader of Embrace, a multi-site church based out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. But we're going to be talking about his book. But he's also the author of Talking with God and Love Has a Name. And we're really going to be focusing on Love Has a Name, learning to love the difference, the difficult, the different, the difficult, and everyone else. And it just goes back to these calls that I got in the car to a pastor. Good gravy train.
Now, hang on. You skipped over something in his bio, Dad.
All right, you finished the bio.
Okay, you got to help me out, Adam. You're in South Dakota, which is great. It's a great state. I love South Dakota. I've been there a couple of times. But you're a Bengals fan?
I'm a diehard Bengals fan.
Why?
Jesus had a heart for the outcast, the loser, you could say. And so I just followed in suit. No, actually, I got a football card when I was 3 years old from one of my cousins. And I've been a fan ever since. I wish you would have given me like a Patriots card or just any other card other than the Bengals.
Well, I live down here in Florida in the Tampa Bay area. And, you know, speaking of the Patriots, we have Tom Brady, Gronkowski.
If there's a season, the Buccaneers are the team that I'm most excited to see what they're going to do this year.
So you just watch this. The trifecta will be completed. The Rays are going to win the World Series. The Bucs are going to win the Super Bowl, and the Lightning are going to win the Stanley Cup all in the same year.
What's the Lightning? Is that a softball team?
Yeah, Dad, it's softball. Yeah.
Okay, got it. I'm just trying to keep up with all things sports in Florida.
At the time of this recording last night, there was 5 overtimes. 5 overtimes. Winners right here. Go Bolts.
Okay. This book, Love Has a Name, Learning to Love the Different, the Difficult, and Everyone Else, is releasing the day that you are hearing this podcast, if you're listening to it on the release date of the podcast, which is August 25th. Incredible, incredible information and incredible inspiration in this book. Adam, why did you write it?
Yeah, so technically, because I had a 2-book deal that I needed to fulfill.
But, oh, gosh.
No, but
that sounds like a checklist author.
The truth is, really, for the first time in my life, I didn't want to love anybody. I have very few strong suits, but for the longest time, my strong suits have been the gift of gab joy and just a deep love for people. Like naturally those things come really easy for me, but for the first time 2-3 years ago, that was not true. I can remember in high school, always looking at older folks in their 50s and 60s and think,
at what point
do you become a grumpy old person? Like I just, it was so foreign to me that you,
you're talking to an expert right now, Dad. I mean, you can.
So it's like, at what point do you become this old bitter person? Well, now fast forward, I'm 38 years old and I find myself asking the same question, but the total opposite. How do you get to 50 or 60 years old and still have a soft heart? Like, how do you get to 50 or 60 years old and still assume the best, still genuinely want to love people? Because 2-3 years ago, I wanted to love my wife, my kids, a few close people, and that's about it. And so really, for the first time in my life, I had to figure out, what does it look like to love like Jesus when I don't want to love anybody? And so that's where I was going through about 2-3 years ago, having no idea that our world would be going through almost a very similar feeling, but different right now today when this releases. I mean, it's, our world is kind of to the place of, I want to love my family, a few close friends, and if you disagree with me, if you wrong me in any way, well, then you just stay away from me. You just, you know.
So I don't want to put you on the psychologist or psychiatrist couch on this, but was something happening? I mean, was it death by a thousand cuts of critics, or was it weariness, or did it just happen?
That's a great question. Maybe death by a thousand cuts led up to the time. And then really what for me, and so leadership wise, I had to make a very hard decision church wise. That wasn't a popular decision. It was a decision I grieved for 6 months. And it was around a staff person, a beloved staff person. And it was so hard. And I knew it wouldn't be a popular decision. I had no idea that it would be like it was. And looking back, I would make the same decision I did. I just would have made it 6 months sooner. So that was kind of it for us as a church. It's the first time that we've ever went through a hard season as a church. And just like any pastor, I mean, if you've been through this, and leadership wise as a whole, if you've been through this, you know how brutal it is. But that's where I was. And I was at the place, and I could say this now, I wanted to leave ministry. I wanted to leave kind of everything except Jesus. And again, my friends, a family, and that's about it. And so really,
how long have you been at the church, Adam?
So I started the church when I was 24. It wasn't my idea. I wouldn't let my 24-year-old self even borrow my car. So I started when I was 24. I'm now 38.
Wow.
And so, and it's been just an awesome adventure. I mean, seeing things that I never thought possible was in South Dakota. I just never thought it'd be possible. And so it's just been an amazing journey. But we had like one of my closest friends who's on staff during this time said, he said, Adam, for the last decade, everything we've touched has turned to gold. Like we couldn't make a misstep if we tried. It was just the pure grace of God. And he said to me, I'll never forget him saying to me, he said, I almost feel like we had to go through this in order to take the next step as a church. And he's like, and I know how painful this is for you, but I actually think it's a good thing. Mm. And so, yeah, that's really sharing. I mean, it was the hardest thing I've ever walked through, including almost losing my father, that I've ever gone through. And I learned so much about leadership. And through that time, the one thing that it's just so crazy. Every person who had a leadership experience didn't go anywhere. I mean, because we lost some folks from the church. All the leaders came to me. And even if they said, hey, Adam, I disagree with your decision you made, it was, hey, Adam, you're on the right track. Keep going. Like, this is kind of part of it. And this is, it's not fun, but just keep your head up and keep walking. You know you're on the right path.
Wow. Sam, I love that story.
Yeah, I think it's a story that a lot of pastors, church leaders can relate to. There are always these hurdles, these challenges, these things that, you know, as you look back on them and you go, wow, I wish I would have made that decision 6 months sooner. Wow, I wish I would have done this maybe in a little different way. Or I wish I would have communicated differently. And that's how we grow as leaders, is to get through these challenges. you know, if you never got tested, if you never got challenged, if you never went through difficult times, how do you even know what you're made of? So I think these lessons are valuable even as they are painful.
So, something else leadership wise that I had to learn, this was how God refines you through these times. I felt like God in many ways through that season said, "Hey, Adam, I didn't cause this, but you're darn sure I'm going to use this." I'm going to use it in a couple ways. Adam, I've been trying to address this people pleaser in you since you were a little boy. Wow. And what are you going to do now that you can't control whether or not people like you? Yeah, you're going to find your identity in me. That was a part of it. The second thing I really realized, I naturally, again, even before this season, it's my one of very few gifts. I do a great job at loving people. I just love people. I mean, everybody's got a story. The stranger you are, the more I want to be your best friend. the people that I'm not done a great job at loving in the past has been the team closest to me, has been my staff. And it's not been this angry, like upset type leader. That's just not me. But it has been this assuming that you can care for yourself, assuming that I don't have to ask how you're doing, assuming that it's totally okay on important days for you that I'm just in my office with the door closed working. My dad's a very similar way, one of the most lovable, likable guys, but I can remember wiring houses with him a couple of summers. When he was wiring houses, he wanted to wire houses. And then when he was done, then we can talk. And I'm the same way. I got to the office and I thought leadership was just getting the job done. That's the furthest thing from leadership. And so that was some things that God had to address in this Yahoo.
Adam, if Facebook were my only form of communication, I would not want to be a Christian. It is a ugly world. So in this world, more polarized, more challenging, difficult, hard to love people. What do we do? What do you do? Or do we just read your book and
No.
Of course. That is a good start. Yes. Go read Adam's book. In the show notes, go check it out. That's the answer.
Well, I think, thank God, Facebook is not our only form of communication.
Amen.
And so, I think on anything even remotely hot button, it should not be a place to communicate. I think for the person who thinks differently than us, I'm always amazed by this. This is similar to Facebook. At times, as a pastor, you will get emails or letters from people, oftentimes not signed when they send them this way, where it sounds like the person is actually at your house with a torch lighting your house on fire. I'm like, oh my gosh, this person is killing my family right now. They're that angry. And then you meet with them face to face and they are the kindest, sweetest. You almost wonder if somebody hacked their computer. And I think that's how it is a lot of times on polarization and hot button issues in the church, outside the church, whatever. If you can grab a cup of coffee with somebody, if you can look somebody in the face, if they know just because you disagree with them that you still love them, it changes everything. And I think for me in our world right now, it's very easy to treat people inhumane if you don't see them as human. If you just see them as, oh my gosh, drive faster. If we just see people as a nuisance to our agenda and getting to a meeting, if we just see people, like, again, on our team as cogs in a wheel rather than people to accomplish our vision, anytime we make people kind of nameless and faceless and just like an opposing force to us, it's easy to treat people inhumane. But anytime you put a name with a person, and more than a name, you put a story with a person, all of a sudden it begins to change everything. Even if that person is still hard to deal with, you begin to find out more about them. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that he just lost his wife of 40 years a couple of years ago. I didn't realize that he's got a son that's making some really bad decisions and he just went and got him out of rehab last night. I didn't know that he's struggling with depression. I didn't know. And all of a sudden, even if nothing changes about the other person, it all of a sudden, you can't help but have compassion well up within you. And so the more face-to-face, even if it's a Zoom face-to-face that you can have, the more you can hear a person's story, things begin to change.
We're talking with Adam Weber, the author of a brand new book. In fact, as the release of this podcast, the book is releasing simultaneously. The name of the book is Love Has a Name, Learning to Love the Different, the Difficult, and Everyone Else. You can see it all in the show notes. You got to jump to it right away. And Adam has graciously given us also basically a gift for you listeners. I would call it the total package, where you can do a complete sermon series. Explain what this gift that you're offering our listeners, Adam, because I think it can be, in addition to the book, an incredible gift to church leaders.
Yeah. So for the person, whether a pastor or a leader, maybe, or a church that doesn't have a pastor that's looking to do a series, I'm giving away the graphics, the bumper videos, my message outline, so you can make it your own. I'm even going to be preaching the videos kind of generally. So it's not going to be, I'm not going to be talking about my home church. It'd be a video that you could play at your own church in replacement of the message. It could be the message, all for free. You can go get it all at adamweber.com/preach, LHAN. And everything's going to be free. I just wanted to give that resources out. It'll be available when this podcast release, it'll be available the Friday before. So you should be able to go there right now and already get week one. If you need a couple Sundays off before your fall kickoff, go for it, or whatever works.
And the link is in the show notes, and that'll be the easiest way for them to get them. I'm going to now let Pastor interview Pastor, since it's been such a long time with Pastor. And as we finish up this podcast, Sam, go for it.
Yeah, I would ask Adam to speak to pastors. What can you tell pastors when it comes to dealing with difficult people? I understand dealing with difficult people in the community. You know, those who need to know Jesus, we don't really expect them to act in Christ's love. But those who are fellow believers should be, and sometimes the hardest people to deal with are in the church. So what would you say to the pastors that are listening to this, who are dealing with their own difficult people within the body, within the congregation?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. I think there's so many pieces of advice and different types of wisdom. I think first off, and this might be a strange answer, to make sure you're healthy yourself. When I'm unhealthy, man, I can't even deal with healthy people, let alone unhealthy people. And so I think it's so critical as pastors to be caring for your own soul. Are you emotionally healthy? Do you have people pouring into you? One of my favorite stories is the paralyzed man that has the four brothers of his that pull him to Jesus. Do you have that in your life? And are you being that for somebody else? Those are so critical. I think, again, just kind of what we said, similar, if you can get face to face with people, don't take the easy route out of sending a text message or a passive aggressive Facebook post. We should, as followers of Christ, let alone as pastors, if there's any passive aggressiveness in our posts, oh my gosh, would you strike us? You know, like, just put fear in our bones, because that's only going to cause more problems.
Adam, passive aggressive Facebook posts are changing the world.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yes, they are.
said no one ever. But so I think face to face, the other part that I would mention, so I actually have a chapter about a hard person. I changed names, obviously. But it was, I think for me, a lot of times, love doesn't always look like love. Sometimes love is saying a kind word. Sometimes love is having a hard conversation, being clear and kind. And I think as a pastor, one of the things that I did that was really unloving, honestly, is I tried to convince people to stay at my church that weren't supposed to stay there. And I think one of the most loving things we can do with that difficult person who's just kind of continuously struggling with the vision, with how you do things, with whatever, is say, hey, I just want to let you know that you have my blessing if somewhere else is supposed to be home. Because I'm so grateful for different churches. And so it's such a weird piece of advice, but I think it applies so differently for each person. Make sure you're healthy yourself. Get face to face with people. Pray before you have those meetings. Have mentors that you can go to as well, other pastors. During my hard season I talked about, there was a leader in our church. He's not a pastor, but he is a pastor, who was, he was about 20, 30 years older than me. He just constantly was coming to me and pouring wisdom. I opened the door for him one day. I said, hey, if there's anything that you see that I should be doing, please. And so he was so helpful as well. So I think it's kind of a multi-facet approach of just each situation so unique. But I think, again, one of the most unloving things that I've done in ministry for a good decade was I tried to convince everybody to stay. And instead of saying, hey, like, there might be a better fit. Isn't that's so hard to say as a pastor, because you can no longer count them in your attendance and you feel like a failure and all this kind of thing. But I'm so thankful for the Bride of Christ, and there's a hand church and there's a foot church. I'm still trying to look for like the kidney and the hairline church. But we all make a part of the body, and what a cool thing to be able to bless people and get them to a place that it's like, no, that's home for them.
We could go on and on, but we're going to point everyone to your book once again, Love Has a Name, Learning to Love the Different, the Difficult. And everyone else, the author is Adam Weber. He is the founder and lead pastor of Embrace in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And just to let you know, in the show notes, you've got a lot of information. You've got Adam's website with the book. You've got his podcast, The Conversation, and you've got the gift that he's giving you. So those are all links that you can go directly and just get that great information that is available. I'm excited about this book because it just hits home. It just really, really hits home. It hits home as a leader. It hits home as a person. Just really does. So, Adam, thank you, my friend, for being here, and thank you for all that you are doing for the kingdom and in a place that is just having an incredible influence, but it's growing exponentially in influence. So thank you, my friend.
Oh, thank you, and thank your whole team for the work that you're doing and for pouring into Yahoos like myself. Very, very grateful.
No, Sam's the Yahoo.
I'm just glad he used the word Yahoo, because I like it's a great word. I've used it myself. So good job there, Adam. Us Yahoos unite.
Yahoos unite. Mine's introverts unite. We thank also our sponsor, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. They have a great mission: simply glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church. The thing that is exciting about this relationship is we at Church Answers offer a joint degree with them, a 37-hour Master of Arts in Church Revitalization. They also make available the Church Future Indicator to help you understand where your church may be going, and you can see the click for that too. So where are you going? Southeastern will help you get there. As always, Sam, thank you for being the pastor to the pastor on this podcast. So thank you for being here. Once again, thanks to Adam. And also in the production area, as always, we thank Kevin in Lexington and Amy in Richmond and for the work that they're doing. Listeners, we appreciate you. You make this podcast what it is because you're willing to listen to us. So wherever you listen to us, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever your favorite podcasting app is, do us a favor. Go tell the world that you like this podcast. Give us a rating and review. And always come back here every week at churchanswers.com and this podcast, where we are growing healthy churches together.